Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's good to see everyone out this morning. We have many that are unable to because of health and sickness. We need to be praying for them. We have a visitor with us this morning. We're glad you came to be with us. For the next couple of sermons, I want to do some things that I think would be beneficial for us as we start a new year. This morning, the lesson is going to be, I press toward the goal. This evening, I'm going to do another sermon from the book of Philippians. Next Sunday, I'm planning on doing two sermons dealing with living in a world of constant emergencies. You turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, and it seems like everything is an emergency today. Everything is a threat to our life. And it just weighs people down. It gets us distracted from what we should be doing. It weighs on our hearts. And I don't know what I will do after those two sermons, but I want to have some starting off the new year, getting our minds focused in the right direction. So I press toward the goal. We're going to be looking at some things that we need to do to be successful in our life, successful in 2026. Don't we want to be successful? Doesn't everybody want to be successful? Who wants to be a failure? You ask people, I don't think you're going to come across anybody that wants to be a failure in life. When I was in business, one of the companies that I worked for would send us to these success motivational seminars. They were very uplifting from a worldly standpoint. I got to hear, you know, live audience, some very famous people that have changed millions of people's lives. And you would just leave those events feeling better, feeling like there was hope. And this is from some speaker talking about business. Friends, you stop and think, we have the riches of life and the life after right here that we can hold in our hands, and we walk around with our chin dragging on the sidewalk. Something's not right. We need to get our focus back. You think about this when we're talking about pressing toward the goal. So back to those seminars I was talking about, you would have the credentials of the person. Person started this business, grew it to so many million, billion dollars, wrote this many books, has done this, done that. Well, we're looking at something that Paul wrote. And where did he write this from? He wrote it from prison. Do you think that someone that wrote a book from prison is going to change your life or that it's going to sell millions of copies? Friends, this is one of the most important letters in the Bible that there is. Philippians chapter 3 can be divided into three parts. Paul deals with the past, he deals with the present, he deals with the future. And we are going to look at this passage and look for four things that are necessary for our success this year. The first one is a sense of personal unworthiness. And this goes against most of what the world would say, that we are unworthy. No, you gotta be worth something. You gotta have a position. But he says, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. Though Paul was a prominent figure in the New Testament, he was aware of his weakness. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but now to perform what is good I do not find. So Paul says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. You see, our body faces temptations every day. We need to realize that we've all sinned. And personal improvement is impossible to the man who does not see his sins and mourns over them. So for a starting point, we've got to see that we are unworthy. In Matthew chapter 5, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I tried to stress certain words on that. I don't know if you picked up on that or not. But in each of these Beatitudes, the second word is are. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. That's present tense. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The second part of these verses is talking about something in the future. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be filled. They shall obtain mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called sons of God. What's my point? The rewards come after the work. The rewards come after developing the kind of character that we must have. The reward comes after we realize that we are sinful and we mourn over our sins. Blessed, 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 blessed. Happy, 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 happy. What does that mean? Is it happy like the world sees happiness? They go out to have a good time so they're happy. They go and engage in sinful practices so they're happy. No, this blessedness, this happiness is a result because our sins are forgiven and we have the right relationship with God. We stand before God forgiven. We are blessed. We are happy. But notice all of these rewards come after the work. We need to have a sense of personal unworthiness. Who would go to a boss or take a job and on the first day say, "I want you to give me my paycheck for the end of the week," or "give me my paycheck for the month"? We don't do that. We understand we have to put in the work, then we get the pay. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why should we rejoice when we're persecuted and evil spoken of and falsely accused? For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we have to start off, if we want to succeed in life, we have to understand that we are nothing. We come before God with sin. We come before God as beggars. We come before God begging for something we don't deserve, the forgiveness of our sins. That's where we start. With the second point I want us to consider is the singleness of purpose, focus. Again, I want to read the passage here. I want to read a little bit more this time. I'll start at verse 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of it for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We have to have the singleness of purpose. There are two ways of looking, approaching at trying to accomplish something. One of them, and these are old principles, one person will say, let's use the shotgun approach. And I think everybody here knows what a shotgun will do. When the ammo comes out of that, it spreads out, covers a wide area. Let's use the shotgun approach and let's hope it hits something. The other is, let's use the rifle approach. That rifle is going to pick out a target, that ammo is going to go and strike that one point that it is headed for. So what does Paul say? He did not say, these two things I do, these three things that I do. He said, this one thing that I do. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Paul was using the rifle approach. He was focused. He was focused. You take the rays of the sun on a sunny summer afternoon and it feels good, but you direct those rays of the sun and you create so much more power and energy. You take a fire, you put water on top of it, you can have steam rise up. That steam is nice, it's beneficial, it can be used for things, but you take that steam and you focus it and you can run a locomotive engine. You can move huge machinery from that focused steam. When we go about doing the Lord's work, we need to concentrate on our purpose. What are we planning to do? What are we planning to do this year? What are we planning to do this month, this week? Or do we get up and just see which way the wind blows us? That's part of that living in a state of constant emergency and reacting, responding to whatever comes along. In Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We have to have that singleness of purpose. We cannot have a divided heart. If we have a divided heart, Satan is going to eat us alive. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Friends, this is the purpose we need to have in life, to love God with all of our heart. And Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what life is all about. It's Christ, to live is Christ. What's the world going to tell us? The world's going to tell us to get the biggest education, get all the degrees you can get. The world's going to tell us get the best paying job that there is. The world's going to tell us get a fancier house than what we have. Move up. You deserve more than what you have. The world tells us you need to go on these luxury vacations all the time, all over the world. See the world. Life's short. Live it up. Live it up. Paul said to live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live as Christ. To live for Christ. To live is Christ. We need to be single-minded. We need to be focused on Christ in this new year and focused on putting the kingdom first. Again, if we don't, if we aren't single-focused, if we're going in different directions, Our life is at the mercy of our circumstances. Whatever comes along, you see some people where money is their idol. And they talk about the stock market or certain investments, and well, it's, you wouldn't believe how high it is today, and they're way up here. And tomorrow, oh, you wouldn't believe what it did, how much it fell, and they are way down here. Friends, our life should not be tied to our circumstances. Our life should be tied to Christ. And if we do not have our life anchored to Christ, we are not going to press on toward the goal. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't hold hands with Christ and the world. We have to be single-minded. James writes in James 1 and verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Luke 8:14, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I have to ask myself, how much fruit am I bearing? And if I am not bearing much, why is it? Am I entangled in too many other things? Have I lost my singleness of purpose? Have I lost my focus? Friends, this world is full of distractions. When we get up in the morning, whatever the first thing is that you do, if you check your social media, you turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, it's going to be distractions blaring at you as loud as it can be. People get hooked on those things. You just take phones, for instance, and you go out the other day, New Year's Day. We went to this diner that we go to sometimes. They were open for a few hours on New Year's Day. We went there for breakfast, and I said, Carol, look over there. And it wasn't an uncommon sight. Two people sitting there looking at their phones instead of talking to each other. And so many people that you see, what are they doing? Their fingers like this. They're just scrolling, 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 scrolling. People spend their lives scrolling, looking for something. Looking for something. And when they find this, oh. And then they scroll, 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 scroll. Look for the next thing. And then the next thing. Why don't we do that in the Bible? Because Satan has us distracted. He has us distracted. Friends, we've got to have focus in life if we want to be successful. If we want to be successful for God, we've got to eliminate the distractions. Over the weekend, there was a lot of political news going on. And I watched part of it, and I told Carol I don't want to listen to any more till Monday, because all people are going to be doing is talking about it. I think this, I feel this way, I think, I feel, back and forth. And when the conversation is going on here over and over and over about something, no matter what it is, there's something going on over here, but they're using this to distract you from what's going on over there. It's, you know, the old magician's trick. And Satan is going to distract us. He's going to distract us, maybe our job, maybe our family, maybe trying to accumulate things. He's going to try to distract us when the real important stuff is right here in God's Word. So we need to have singleness of purpose. If we want to be successful, we need to forget the past. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. If the things which are behind us cannot make us better, we need to remember them no more. Sometimes there are things in the past that are bad. Is it easy to forget those things? Not always. Sometimes it's hard to forget those things in the past. Sometimes if we think about those things in the past, it's going to make us freeze up and we can't move forward because we have that little tape playing in our head of this that happened in the past. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What are some of those things that Paul would have had to forget, those things that are behind? Well, and two, just before I get into that list, things are things, but you see where people's heart is, and they don't want to let go of things. And it's not uncommon to find people, and I'm just saying this as objectively as I can, but they'll have boxes of all of their childhood trophies, their ribbons, this paper, that paper, look at me, to make them feel good or to say, you know, look at me. And then that's their past. And then they keep on doing that with things in the present. You go in, I've heard it called a I love me wall. You go into somebody's office and they've got every plaque of top sales winner and this award and that award. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What are some of those things that Paul left behind? He had to forget his childhood. In Philippians 3, verse 3, beginning, for we are the circumcision. We are Jews who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. If anybody else thinks he has all the trophies, I've got more than he does. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning the zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. His religion was the best and with the traditions of the ancient worthies. But when the call came, he was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. He had to forget all of those things of his past. Consider Paul had to forget his personal accomplishments, the moral, intellectual, political. He did not allow the memory of those things to take over in his life. He had to forget his injuries. Think of the stripes, the bruises, the imprisonments, the false charges. If he allowed any of these things to discourage him, again, he would have frozen up and stopped. Boy, I remember what they did to me back in that city, in that other city. They tried to kill me. They wanted to stone me and leave me for dead. How can you go forward every day with all of those things in your mind? And again, is it easy to forget the past? No, but we've got to work at it. Paul had to forget his mistakes. Did Paul make mistakes? He made big time mistakes. He persecuted God's church. He had letters to go and to take Christians and have them bound, to have them put to death. But he had been forgiven. He had been forgiven, and that was not going to stop his onward march. We start with that sense of personal unworthiness. So we need to forget our past. We need to forget our past sins and let them go. Again, is it easy? No, it's not easy. Is it necessary? Yes. Can we be successful in the new year if we drag around all the sins of our past? It's not going to work. We've got to let go. Paul had a commitment to progress. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He had a commitment to go forward. From the beginning, God wanted man to go forward. You just stop and think about how he designed our body. He put eyes in our head to look forward. He put feet at the bottom of us to take us forward. He wants us to move forward. What do so many of us want to do? We want to go back. We want to go sideways. We want to go here. We want to just sit down and go nowhere. God wants us to move forward. Again, sometimes that's scary, but we were created to move forward. And with this too, Paul uses a couple of words we need to look at. I press on. I press on. That talks about the intensity. It's the figure of a runner. You see somebody running in the Olympics and their body is thrown forward. The hands are extended. They're moving forward with every ounce of energy. I press on. The intensity. And he says toward the goal. That's direction. He didn't run aimlessly. He didn't run with a blindfold on. He was running toward the goal. We might be moving a lot, but moving in the wrong direction. And where's that going to get us? We've all heard or seen a football game and someone is running down the field with the ball. They get to the goalpost at the end. Unfortunately, they got confused and ran in the right direction. Friends, we don't want to be busy running in the wrong direction. Direction. Our aim is Christ, and this includes to be Christ-like in our character, to be Christ-like in our service, the crown of victory, the heavenly reward. We need to press forward. So this year, what are we going to do pressing forward? How much more are we going to read our Bible? How much more are we going to pray to God? How much more are we going to spend time with other Christians? We need to have a commitment to progress. The status quo is not acceptable in the Lord's church. We have to press on. And we don't know how much time we will have in this new year to do those things that we need to do. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Friends, we need to press on. We need to press on this year. We need to pray to God, be with other Christians, spend time in his word, and he will answer our prayers. We need to all work together so that we can help each other escape Satan and make it to heaven. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel in some way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.